As you heard, for about half a century, at least, the South has had a very, very important role in helping to choose Republican presidential nominees. And since 1996, every GOP presidential candidate who's won the nomination has had a personal connection to the South. And they ran their campaigns by aggressively courting Southern states with policies that reflected Southern ethics and values. But not Mitt Romney. This election's frontrunner has basically sidestepped the big Southern states like Alabama and Mississippi, whose primaries are coming up on Tuesday. And we're joined now by Chad Connolly, chairman of the South Carolina GOP. Chad, thanks for joining us again.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. You know, maybe you can ask the question I asked earlier, which is, why do you think Mitt Romney doesn't seem to be bothered about losing South Carolina, a state which has been a bellwether for Republican presidential nominees?
Well, we've had a 30-year track record, no doubt about it, of our nominee, the one we picked, going on to be the eventual candidate. So this would be a weird year if we weren't in that mix. But, you know, he didn't really ignore the South, and I couldn't speak to his strategy, but he poured everything he had into Florida. There's no question about it. So I think this was a weird year for a lot of reasons, though, honestly, because the candidates didn't come to the states as early. That might have had something to do with the economy. I think it had a lot more to do with the fact that 4 years ago, all our states got spoiled because they started so early with an open seat, if you will, because George W. was going out. So Democrats and Republicans were running around, and there was more of a tenor of get here, get early, and spend a lot of time in all the southern states. So I think that's been a bigger part of the difference, honestly.
So you don't see this as a sort of waning influence of southern states?
No, absolutely not. I mean, look, our state had unprecedented ad buys. In the 2 weeks prior to our primary, you couldn't buy advertising time. The local television stations were just telling me, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks for what you're doing, because the Romney campaign, the Gingrich campaign, the Santorum campaign, Huntsman was up on TV, Paul was up on TV, Perry was on TV. So all those candidates were spending money and time and advertising and buying advertising space. So nobody was ignoring this, least of all Mitt Romney. His PAC and his campaign spent quite a bit of money here.
Although, to play the devil's advocate, Chad Connolly, many states are seeing unprecedented ad buys.
Well, again, I think that has a lot to do with the fact they got started late. And look, part of this, you know, the RNC's attempt at stretching this counter out, I would say, has been successful, maybe with the proportional delegates and some of the other things they put into place. You know, I fought the whole First in the South thing in Florida, moving the counter up, because I didn't want to see it compressed into a national primary day. And that was the RNC's primary goal 2 years ago or 3 years ago now when they set up these rules. So I don't think it's a waning influence at all. I think it's a response to and probably a result of the new rules that the party put in place several years ago.
We're speaking with Chad Connolly, who's chairman of the South Carolina GOP. Now, you say you like this sort of extended primary season. Well, you know, we spoke with other experts, notably Ron Christie, who's a Republican political strategist, who says this strategy of dragging out this primary is hurting the GOP candidates and will, in the end, have taken a bite out of whoever the eventual nominee is.
Well, nobody really knows if it's going to hurt anybody or not. Here's what I think. I believe that all the vetting needs to be done. I believe that all the honing of the skills as a debate person and being able to respond to whatever questions come up, I think it helps our candidate. It certainly helped Obama in 08. I remember as a young man watching Bush and Reagan fight it out when Bush called it voodoo economics instead of Reaganomics, and you think they'll never be friends again, the party will never come together, and lo and behold, he was his vice presidential nominee. I really think that what you saw 4 years ago in the Democrats' primary season stretching it out certainly didn't hurt Obama. And I think what you're seeing right now with the Republican side is you're going to have more states engaged, more people engaged, more activists coming out of the woodwork to say, hey, we want a part in this. And so I think it's an overall real positive for our side.
Well, also with us this morning, that's Chad Connolly of the South Carolina GOP, chairman of the South Carolina GOP. Also with us is Dave Weigel, a writer for Slate. So, Dave, what do you think? Is this a signal of the waning influence of the South in presidential politics, at least?
I think it's a bit of a fluke. I don't think you could take this election and draw it out over the course of years. It's just that you have in Mitt Romney a candidate with no natural appeal to Southern conservative voters, to the new heartland of the Republican Party. He has worked pretty hard to try and gain it. But, I mean, if he wins this nomination, he only wins it because in part, Newt Gingrich, Rick Santorum managed to split votes in the Southern primaries, and he wins everywhere else. And it's just it's an oddity. I mean, no one else in the modern era has been able to win the nomination without winning South Carolina, without at least getting, you know, pulling strong numbers in the Deep South primaries.
But then what does that mean for Mitt Romney when it comes to the general election? Does that mean that these Southern voters will have a hard time swallowing him if he is the nominee and have a hard time motivating themselves to get to the polls, Dave?
I've talked to Southern Republicans who say that. And I mean, there's a little bit of griping that you hear from endorsers or organizers or activists if their guy's not currently winning. But no, there's something pretty deep there. We saw it in 2008. There were Democrats in West Virginia and Tennessee and Arkansas who weren't as excited by Barack Obama, who wanted Hillary Clinton. There is a cultural connection that comes into play in any presidential election. It's tighter than you'd think for an office that no one's going to meet the occupant of in their lives. This is more intense because this is, I mean, about almost a third of the Electoral College, and it's a part of the country that's always, you know, since the 1980s has chosen the nominee. I think head of the Tennessee Conservative Union was convinced that down the ballot, the Republicans will be hurt because people won't be as excited to come out for Mitt Romney. Other Republicans have sworn up and down that's not the case. But he was always going to have this problem. And the thing that I think surprises even the Romney campaign is that they're not quite solving it. This is why they've been trying to in advance to put poor money into Alabama or Mississippi just to prove that it's not a permanent problem. But they're going to do worse there than John McCain did.
Well, the primaries in Alabama and Mississippi are coming up on Tuesday. We'll see what happens there. Dave Weigel is writer for Slate Magazine. Chad Connolly, South Carolina GOP chair. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We want you to weigh in on this issue, especially if you're in the South. Let us know what you think about what they called a fluke and a weird and odd primary season for the Republicans. 877-8-MY-TAKE or post your comment at thetakeaway.org.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.